And wonderful, wonderful. Let's take our Bibles tonight. Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20 tonight is where we're going to be. Jeremiah chapter number 20. Let's read one verse by way of introduction tonight, and we'll look at a good part of the chapter tonight, but just one verse by way of introduction. The Bible says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." I want to bring a message tonight entitled, "I Will Not, But I Must." I will not, but I must. Father, help us and teach us tonight. Father, I pray that you'd meet us where we're at tonight. You always do, and I'm thankful for that. Your word always meets us exactly where we're at, and it provides exactly what we need. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do just that tonight. Father, help the kids, the teenagers next door. I thank you for a good year that you've given us in Master Club. And Father, as we finish the year out tonight, Lord, I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to be able to minister to the children in this way on Wednesday nights. Thank you for our workers. I pray that you bless them for their efforts. Lord, I pray that you give us a wonderful summer. Pray that you'd bless as only you can. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it. And we ask that you'd bless these next few moments that we have together. Father, we commit them to you. We ask that you do in and through us what only you can. We ask that your Holy Spirit would move and work in our midst tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a place which we have all most likely visited at some time in our lives. It is a place of seeming despair and sadness. It is often a place of question and uncertainty. It is often a place which we visit because others take us there. And many times, if not most, we arrive there because we are fixated upon self. And that place is called the place of discouragement. That's where Jeremiah finds himself in Jeremiah chapter number 20. Jeremiah 20, Jeremiah the prophet, the weeping prophet, finds himself in a place in verse number 9 where he says, "I will not speak any more in his name." And that's a pretty low place for a prophet, for a preacher to find himself, to say, "I will not speak the Word of God anymore. I will not preach the Word of God anymore." But that's where Jeremiah finds himself. The word discouraged means deprived of courage. What do we say courage is? It's faith in God's promises. Discouraged means deprived of courage or confidence. It means having lost confidence or enthusiasm. It means disheartened. We can all get there in different ways, as we've mentioned, but probably all of us tonight, I dare say probably all of us, have been there at some point or maybe even several points in our lives. We've been at the place called discouragement. I want you to hold your place here quickly, and let's go back to the a little bit further in the Old Testament, all the way back almost to the beginning of the Bible, to the book of Numbers. I want to show us, just by way of introduction tonight, show us an example of how discouragement can come in our lives. And then we're going to come back, and in our text, we're going to see how Jeremiah arrived at this place of discouragement, but we're also going to see, even more importantly, that he didn't stay there. He arrived there. He got there. We're going to see how he got there. But the wonderful thing is he didn't stay there. He didn't dwell in it. He didn't languish in it. He didn't stay at this place of discouragement. Numbers chapter 32. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Elilah and Shebam and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle." Makes sense, doesn't it? "Wherefore," said they, "if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan." Now, they have come to this place called Kadesh Barnea to get ready to go in the promised land. We know what happens in Numbers chapter 14. They send out the 12 spies. They come back with a good report, or at least the report about what's there. And then 10 of them gave a report of, hey, we can't do it. 2 said we can do it. 2 said we can go in and defeat them. They are bread for us. And so now they've come, and we know that God chastised them. He made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years because of that. And now they're coming to the place where a new generation is getting ready to go over into Jordan. And 2 of the tribes, 2.5 tribes, as we see here, Reuben and Gad, Manasseh is not mentioned, but half the tribe of Manasseh is going to come into this group as well later on. But Reuben and Gad come and they say, look, this land right here on this side of Jordan is good. It's good for cattle. And so we're asking that we can stay here and not go over Jordan into the promised land. And notice what Moses said. "Moses said unto the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war and shall ye sit here?" And notice verse number 7. "And wherefore," what's the word? Discourage. "And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them." You say, look, you want to stay here because the land's good, and that, I understand that. By the way, eventually they do get to stay there. Moses agrees. He allows them to stay there. But they had to go to war. They still had to, the soldiers still had to cross over Jordan, still had to go to war with the rest of the nation of Israel. But he's saying, look, if you stay here, you're going to discourage the heart of the rest of your people, the rest of your brethren, from going over as well. He said, "And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers." Your fathers did the same thing, he said, "when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. The Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he swears, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord." Now, I bring us here just for the simple fact to show us that look, there are many ways we can discourage ourselves, but there are many ways that we can cause others to be discouraged. And we ought to be careful that we're not doing something that we are only half-heartedly following the Lord and causing others to be discouraged. Moses tells these two tribes, look, now, again, eventually he lets them stay, and he lets the half-tribe of Manasseh stay there as well, but he says, you're going to go over and fight. But he said, look, if you stay here, you're going to discourage the hearts of the people, just like your fathers did at Kadesh Barnea. We've got to be careful. It's just a side note tonight. We've got to be careful that we're not a source of discouragement for someone else. That maybe our unfaithfulness, or maybe our lack of enthusiasm, or maybe our lack of involvement, or maybe our lack of wholly following the Lord causes someone else to be discouraged and to quit. That's where Jeremiah finds himself. Would you go back to Jeremiah chapter number 20 tonight? I want to give us 2 thoughts tonight, and we'll develop these here in Jeremiah chapter number 20. We're going to see how he got to the place of discouragement, and then, praise the Lord, we're going to see the fact that he didn't stay in that place. He didn't languish in discouragement. You see, we can all get there, but God help us, we should never stay there. Things come into our lives, and maybe it's because of somebody else, or maybe it's just because of self. But we can't stay there. Number one tonight, I want us to see this. Jeremiah was shaken in his soul. Jeremiah was shaken in his soul. How did he get there? How did he get to this great man that God is using, this great man that's preaching the Word, this great man that is delivering messages directly from the mouth of Almighty God? How does he get to a point where he is shaken in his soul to the point he says, I'm done, I'm finished, I'm not doing it anymore? Well, first of all, I want us to see this. First of all, he was ignored and he was imprisoned. How did he get to the place of discouragement? Well, first of all, he was ignored and imprisoned. Jeremiah was shaken in his soul. Look at chapter number 19, if you would. Verse number 14. Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy. And he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Here he is. He's doing what he always does. He's just giving a message from the mouth of God. He is God's mouthpiece, but the message comes directly from God. He says, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words. Jeremiah has over and over and over and over again preached this message to Judah that, hey, captivity is coming, bondage is coming, chastisement is coming, unless you repent. Unless you get right with God and turn back to God, judgment is coming. And he has preached it and he has preached it. And by the way, he's preached it because that's what God has told him to preach. He isn't preaching it because he's like, man, I just love preaching this. Just day in and day out, week in and week out, I just love preaching this. No, he did it because God told him to. But they ignored him. Over and over. Jeremiah prophesied during the reign of Josiah. Josiah was a good king. Under Josiah, there was revival and there was reformation, but really, it only happened with Josiah for the most part. Josiah and a handful of other people, the people themselves, there really wasn't sincere revival. There was with Josiah. Josiah was dead serious about what he was doing, but with the nation as a whole, there really wasn't revival. And so here's Jeremiah, and he's preaching his heart out, and he's preaching his heart out, and nobody listened. Nobody listened. Go back, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 6. We know this verse, we know this passage. In Jeremiah chapter 6, this is Jeremiah's second message that he's preaching. We could read, we're going to begin in the middle of the context, I know. Let's just begin in verse 13. It says, For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But, and here Jeremiah's preaching this to these individuals. But the Bible says, but they said, we will not walk therein. How did he get there? He was shaken in his soul. Why? How? He was ignored. He preached and he preached and he preached and he preached. Nobody listened. There was no change. There was no change. He was ignored. But secondly, he was imprisoned. Look at chapter number 20, verse 1. Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. So not only did they ignore him, not only did they not listen to him, but look what else they did. Verse 2. Then Pashur, now notice this, who is this guy? He's a priest. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. We know later on in the book of Jeremiah, they put him down in the dungeon. They lower him down into this pit. It's nothing but mire. It's nothing but mud. And they lower him down in this pit, and he's down there. And the Bible talks about the fact that he sinks in the mud. It's not like our prisons, watching cable TV and going to the gym and all. No, no, no. They put him in a dungeon. They put him down in the pit, in the mire. He was ignored. He was imprisoned. He was shaken in his soul. Let me give you two others. How did he get there? First of all, he was ignored and imprisoned. Secondly, he felt deceived and discouraged. He felt deceived and discouraged. Look at verse number 7, if you would. Chapter number 20, Jeremiah 20. O Lord, notice this. It's a pretty bold statement. O Lord, Thou hast what? Deceived me. Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. And then we read verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. He felt deceived and discouraged. I don't know exactly, I don't know if I know this for sure, what he is speaking of in verse number 7, but I have an idea. Would you go back to chapter number 1? Why would he say, I have been deceived? Would you look at Jeremiah chapter number 1? Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 4. You see, Jeremiah is no different than any other preacher, no different than any other prophet. When God calls them into the ministry, they think everybody's going to listen to them. They think everybody's going to heed the message from God Almighty. They think everybody's going to come to the altar, but that doesn't happen. Verse number 4, Jeremiah chapter number 1. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. That's a pretty big deal, isn't it? Now, by the way, I think that's true for anybody. I think God calls people when they're in the womb, and you say, Pastor, they're not even saved yet. Look, God knows His plan for them from the beginning. And He knew His plan for Jeremiah from the beginning. Verse 6, then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now, he hasn't deceived him, has he? Because he said, look, don't be afraid of their faces. Just preach. A little bit later, he says, don't be dismayed at their faces. Just preach. Verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. But notice verse 10. This is where I want to bring this. He says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. I believe in my heart that what Jeremiah is referencing in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 7, when he says, you have deceived me, is verse number 10, when God says, look, I have set you over the nations, I have set you over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Jeremiah in his heart's thinking, that hasn't happened. That's probably never going to happen. Look, they're putting me in prison. They're not listening to me. They have hardened their necks. They're mocking me daily, the Bible says. They have me in derision daily. They mock me. So how did he get there? Jeremiah was shaken in his soul. Why? How? Because he was ignored and imprisoned. Because he felt deceived and discouraged. And he was. Let me give you a third thing, if I could. Back in Jeremiah chapter number 20, he felt cursed and consumed. He felt cursed and consumed. Look at verse number 14. Now, I believe verses 14 through 18, really I believe this whole chapter kind of works its way backwards in a small part. I don't believe verses 14 through 18 actually occurred after verses 11 through 13. We'll read those in just a moment. I believe they're all part of what's going on in verse number 9 when he said, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name." Look what he says beginning in verse 14. "Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. Let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not, and let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontide, because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame." Why was he shaken in his soul? Because he was ignored and imprisoned. Because he felt deceived and discouraged. Because he felt cursed and consumed. But I want you to notice in those verses, who is he focusing on? He's focusing on I. And I'm going to tell you what, the quickest way to get to the place of discouragement is to get our eyes on self. I, self-pity, self-pity, pity party, woe is me. That's the quickest way to get to the place of discouragement. Now let me ask you something tonight. Was Jeremiah in a bad place? Sure he was. They're mocking him. They're smiting him. They have imprisoned him. They've put him in the stocks. They deride him and mock him daily. What he thought would happen in the nation of Israel. The Bible doesn't imply this specifically, but as I said just a moment ago, look, when God called a prophet and when God calls any man to preach, he has great thoughts of what God's going to do with him and how God's going to use him. Nothing's happening. Nobody's repenting. Nobody's getting right with God. They're just running headlong into captivity. Babylon is coming. And nothing is changing. And Jeremiah is discouraged. Jeremiah is disheartened. He said, "Cursed be the day wherein I was born. I wish I had never been born," is what he said. "Curse the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. When the man came and told my father that he had a man-child born unto him, it made him very glad." He said, "Cursed be that man that told my father that. Wish he had never been born." We see, number one, Jeremiah was shaken in his soul. But number two tonight, he was burning in his bones. He was shaken in his soul, but he was burning in his bones. Look what the Bible says in verse number 9. "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. I'll not preach anymore. These people are never going to change. These people are never going to listen. What's the use? I'm beating my head against the wall. I'm wasting my time. I'm getting these messages from God Almighty. It's God's Word from His very mouth. I'm taking it to the people. Nobody listens. Nobody changes. I'm done." That's what he says. Oh, but look what the Bible says. But, "His word was in mine heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." He said in that last part of the verse, he said, "I was weary with forbearing. When I said I'm not going to preach anymore, when I said I'm not going to speak in His name, I tried it for a little while, but I was weary. I couldn't forbear anymore. I was weary with forbearing of speaking the name of Jehovah, and I could not stay. I had to preach it. I had to say it. Hey, listen, Mom and Dad, when it doesn't feel like the kids are listening, and you get discouraged with the kids, just keep saying it. Yeah, when you don't think the kids are listening, and when you're trying to teach them the Word of God, and when you're trying to get them to obey, and you don't think they're listening to anything you're saying, just keep saying it. There ought to be a burning in your bones. There ought to be a burning in my bones with the Word of God. He said, but there was a burning. His Word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary. Go over just probably a couple of pages. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23 verse 29. Notice what God says here. Jeremiah 23, 29. Is not my Word like as a what? Fire. Saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. What does a fire do? Look, the Word is like a fire. It consumes. It warms. It tries us. We mentioned it the other night. We put that wood, hay, and stubble, or that gold, silver, and precious stones there, and the fire tries it. The fire burns it, and it tries it, and lets us know whether it's going to last or not. That's what the Word does. The Word tries us. Like a fire, it tries us and shows us whether our works are acceptable or not. It fuels us. Jeremiah was burning in his bones. Let me give you four things real quickly here. We'll be done tonight. We'll pray. Jeremiah was burning in his bones. Let me give you four things about the Word of God tonight. Number one, first of all, the Word fuels us to pray. The Word fuels us to pray. Look at verse number 11 if you would. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous. That's what the Word does. That's what a fire does. It tries us. And seest the reins and the heart, our innermost being. Let me see thy vengeance on them. Notice the last part of verse 12. For unto thee have I opened my cause. What is he saying? Unto you, you're the one that I have prayed. You're the one that I have asked help from. You're the one that I know is going to answer. You're the one that's going to bring vengeance on mine enemies. First of all, tonight, Jeremiah was burning in his bones. The Word fuels us to pray. For unto thee have I opened my cause. By the way, how does the Word fuel us to pray? How does the Word encourage us to pray? I'll give you one reason, one way. Because we see over and over and over in the Word of God how God proves Himself when one of His children prays. All you need to do is read the Psalms. All you need to do is read David. Time after time after time after time. The Bible says David cries unto God. And what does God do? He hears. He inclines His ear to Him. So first of all tonight, the Word, we're talking about the Bible. We're talking about verse number 9. He says, then I said, I will not make mention of Him nor speak any more in His name, but His Word. His Word was in mine heart. The Word fuels us to pray when we're in those times of discouragement. It's the Word that says, hey, why don't you pray? Look what God has done in the past. Look how God has proven Himself in the past. Pray! Secondly, the Word fortifies us to praise. It fuels us to pray. It fortifies us to praise. Look what the Bible says in verse number 13. Actually, we read verses 11 and 12. Look at verse number 13. Sing unto the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, for He hath delivered the soul. I believe He's talking about Himself. He hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the evildoers. Not only does it fuel us to pray, but it fortifies us to praise. You ought to heard a preacher say one time, and I guess maybe we can argue the totality of the truth of the statement or not, but he said, you know, there's some things you can't pray your way through, but you can definitely praise your way through. By the way, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It is the Word that fortifies us, that strengthens us to praise. Number three. Number one, the Word fuels us to pray. It fortifies us to praise. Thirdly, it fires us up to preach. It fires us up to preach. Look at verse number 3. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pasher brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord hath not called thy name Pasher, but Magor-Missabib. He called him a terrorist. That name means terror on every side. It means fear on every side. He called him a terrorist. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it, and I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them, and take them, and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pasher, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity. And thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. You know what it does? The Word fires us up to preach. Pastor, you can put me in the stocks. Pastor, you can put me in prison. Y'all can put me in the muck and mire. But I'm going to tell you what God has told me, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. God has given you a new name. Your name's not Pastor. Your name is Magor-Missabib. Because there's terror on every side of you. Anybody who has anything to do with you is going to feel that terror. You're going to go into captivity. The Word fires us up to preach. You don't have to turn there, but let me read you a passage in the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 17, beginning at verse 15. The Bible says, And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred. The Bible says his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, What will this babbler say? Other some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. You know what the Word does? Or at least what it should do? By the way, how much of the Word did Jeremiah have in him? That's all he did was preached. That's all he did was prophesy. How many messages did he get from the very mouth of God? He was consumed with the Word of God. It was in his bones, the Bible says. It fires us up to preach. Then finally tonight, the Word fights for us to prevail. It fights for us to prevail. Verses 10 through 12. Verse 9, he said, But his Word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Verse 10, For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Reports, say they, and we were reported. All my familiars watched for my halting. What is he saying there? What is he saying? They're waiting for him to fail. They're waiting for him to quit. When it says halting, they're waiting and they're watching for him to stop. They're waiting and they're watching for him to quit, saying, Peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. You know the devil? The devil is quick to bring you to the place of discouragement because he wants you to quit. The world, the flesh, and the devil, they love when we get to the place of discouragement because the devil's just sitting there, Almost got him. Almost got her. She's about ready to quit. She's about ready to throw in the towel. She's tired of this guy. She's tired of these kids. And she's getting ready to quit. But you know what the Word does? It fights for us. It fights for us so that the enemy will not prevail, but so that we will prevail. You see what he says there in verse number 11? But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee have I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. For he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Jeremiah was shaken in his soul. And there were reasons for that. He was ignored. He was imprisoned. He felt deceived. He felt discouraged. God, where is the increase? God, where is the building up that you talked about in Jeremiah 1:10? Where are the nations and the kingdoms that you've given me? He felt deceived. He felt discouraged. By the way, had God deceived him? Absolutely not. But he felt that way. You know what he had? He had doubt. God, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? He felt deceived and he felt discouraged. He felt cursed and he felt consumed. But he didn't stay there because there was a burning in his bones. Boy, I've got too much of the Word. There's too much of the Word in me. And that Word is like a fire. And boy, I'm trying not to speak it and I'm trying not to preach it, but I can't forbear anymore. I can't stay quiet anymore. I can't stay still anymore. I've got to preach it. Jeremiah was burning in his bones. The Word fuels us to pray. It fortifies us to pray. It fires us up to preach. And it fights for us so that we can prevail. Hey, I don't know where you're at tonight. You may have walked in here tonight in the place of discouragement. But I pray that you leave here tonight with a burning in your bones. I pray that the Word of God will fire you up tonight. I pray that the Word of God will fuel you tonight. I would pray that you'll allow the Word of God to fight for you tonight. Because we may come to the place of discouragement, but we ought not stay there. We may come to the place of discouragement where the world, the flesh, and the devil, they're just rubbing their hands and they're licking their chops. They're like, oh, he's getting ready to quit. She's getting ready to quit. But don't stay there. Don't let them get the victory. You let the Word of God have the victory. Amen. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you that we have an example like Jeremiah. He came to that place, the place that all of us come to sometimes. But Father, he didn't stay there. There was a burning in his bones. Father, I pray tonight. Lord, if there's one in here tonight that came, walked in these doors with a discouraged heart, shaken in their soul maybe. Father, I pray that they leave here tonight with a burning in their bones. Father, there may be someone here tonight who's doing well, but maybe tomorrow, maybe Friday, something will happen at work. Something will happen at home, and it'll shake their soul, and Lord, they'll be discouraged and disheartened. They'll feel like they're ignored. They'll feel like they're consumed and cursed. And Father, I pray that they would allow the Word, Your Word, to burn in their bones, to fight for them, to fire them up, to fuel them. Father, please help us. Father, I pray that you'd hear us as we pray. Father, I pray that you'd go with us, give us safety tonight. Father, bring us back together on Sunday, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. It is just a couple minutes still. If you need to go, I understand, but let's take some time and pray tonight.